The childcare industry is hoping that 2022 is the year that New York lays down the foundation for a system of universal access to high-quality, affordable childcare, which will require major investments in the sector's workforce and subsidies for families. But another element of improving access to care is improving the administration of the system more broadly, according to the Children's Agenda, a nonprofit advocacy organization that produced a report analyzing barriers to care in New York. And joining us to discuss the report, as well as recent developments or lack of developments in the campaign for universal childcare, we're joined by Pete Nabosny, Director of Policy for the Children's Agenda. Welcome back to the show, Pete.
Thanks for having me.
So your report highlights some of the flaws in the process of enrolling families in child care assistance programs, a responsibility left up to the county governments, which take varying approaches to this task, according to your review of the social service districts around New York. What are some of the shortcomings of the county approaches outside of New York City, especially as it pertains to eligibility information available online to parents?
Yeah, so what we did was we took a look at the OCFS website and how the state directs people to, you know, find out more about how they can apply for assistance for care, which directs people to local county websites. And then we tried to determine kind of the level of information that was available for someone, you know, a parent who's got a young child, they're trying to stay in the workforce, and they're trying to figure out how they can afford, you know, to pay for care. And we took a look at like what information is available, what resources are available, what supports are there, and can a parent sort of reasonably determine whether they qualify for assistance affording the cost of care. And generally across the state and majority of counties, there was very little information that's kind of publicly available online, something someone could research, you know, in the evening after work or something like that about what, you know, what the eligibility levels are in terms of what income levels are eligible for care, whether, you know, someone who's in school or in a job training program or searching for work is covered. That's rarely available. And whether or not the application itself, which is, you know, a downloadable PDF kind of thing, it was available. In a majority of counties, none of those elements were in place. So someone who's looking for care would have to go to like a DSS office, you know, take a day off of work or find some other arrangements for childcare so that they could go and apply rather than be able to identify some basic level of information before they you know, took that step. And in New York also, you know, we as a state, we don't have anything resembling an online application process for childcare, which really stands out compared to some other states that we looked at, as well as a lot of other programs. If you're applying for, you know, SNAP or temporary assistance or Medicaid or, you know, these things, these other programs have online applications, and we're really missing that for childcare.
Well, does that matter, though? Are we not seeing enough engagement with local childcare programs? Because it was always my impression, based on the argument that we need additional funding for universal childcare access, was that the demand is really exceeding the services available. So it's not like this is a barrier to access, is this?
Well, historically, that's been the case. You know, I think a lot of local social service districts didn't put a lot of information out there, you know, perhaps because they were concerned about having more demand than they could fund through the dollars they get from the state and what they've determined they can contribute locally. But even leading up to the pandemic's kind of changed everything. Enrollment has been really thrown off with, you know, large levels of unemployment and some families feeling uncomfortable about putting their children into care. But we started to see a few years before the pandemic that childcare subsidy enrollment was starting to dip a bit, and counties were starting to kind of roll over funds from one year to another, indicating that they had the resources to enroll more families, but for whatever reason, they weren't. But yet, we look at a lot of other factors, like public opinion polling, when the state had their essential worker scholarship available last summer, the demand was incredible, which was an online application. So it does seem like some of the nature of how we sort of wall off information about the availability of childcare subsidies is depressing some level of enrollment. And that's why you know, we need to change that, and we need to, instead of treating it as something that we want to limit enrollment for, we need to make more information available, advertise the availability of this as a support to help people stay in the workforce, to ensure that their children are cared for in a safe, nurturing environment. And, you know, we need to take some proactive steps to ensure that more families are getting the support that they may need to thrive.
Is the solution then to the question about what information is available to simply require the State Office of Children and Family Services, OCFS, to mandate what info goes up on county websites?
Well, that would be helpful. I think that's one step, one thing that we recommend in the report. And, you know, the state could require it. Counties could also take the proactive approach of sharing this information. There are a few counties that do a very good job. Suffolk has a lot of good information on their website. Erie County has some really good information on their website. And even in Yates County, which is one of the smallest counties in the state, you know, they take a simple approach to it, just a couple links, but those links include a lot of information for families in Yates County to learn. So yes, the state should, you know, make some requirements around this, and counties should not need the requirement to do it themselves. But we also see in other systems, like if you take a look at the Affordable Care Act and implementation of that, they funded navigation services to help families identify the healthcare plan that was the best fit for them. You know, these are funded throughout the state and throughout the country. And so it would be useful, I think, to have some support for enrollment for families to help them get through the application process, to answer questions they may have. And we think as an organization that the Child Care Resource and Referral Networks are a great fit for that. There are probably other fits in different parts of the state as well, but, you know, there should be some funding to help identify families and support them as they try to get into this hopefully universal child care system that we're seeking to build.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about access to child care assistance in New York, and our guest is Pete Nabosny, Director of Policy for the Children's Agenda. Well, turning to that push for universal child care access, Governor Kathy Hochul stated the state proposals included a commitment to increase eligibility for child care assistance from 200% above the federal poverty line to 225%. While that obviously won't achieve the universal access goal, what will be the ramifications of that type of change if it is implemented?
Well, if that's all we do, if we increase eligibility levels to 225%, which is going from about like $53,000 a year for a family of four to about $59,000 for a family of four, I mean, we, you know, we'll likely see some additional families, you know, receive help affording care. And those are families that have an extremely hard time paying for child care out of pocket because of their income levels and the cost of care. So it would be positive. At the same time, it doesn't really look like it would achieve the sort of enrollment increase that the governor also mentioned in her State of the State, which was that this would enroll 100,000 new families. It seems very unlikely that would happen, that modest increase. There's only about 100,000 kids across the state that's going to fall into that income level. So that assumes that every child is a, you know, single child in the family, and that every single family would enroll and apply for assistance, which doesn't happen for a variety of reasons, not just because of the lack of a online application, although, again, we think that would help improve some enrollment. But a lot of families don't qualify for care because one parent isn't in the workforce. A lot of families don't want to send their young children to a, you know, group care environment. They prefer to have, you know, a grandparent or you know, a sibling or someone else care for that child. If the governor does want to enroll 100,000 new families, which would be a dramatic increase to the child care subsidy system in New York, they'd have to go well above the 225%, probably closer to around 300% of the federal poverty level.
Well, the other side of this coin, too, is you need to have the available workforce to provide the care, even if you've got money to pay for it. You might not have the people to do the work. And to that end, the governor says she wants to invest $75 million in better pay for child care workers. Would that have any significant consequence for the ranks of the workforce as it exists now? Or would it potentially just result in stopping the hemorrhaging the loss of childcare workers that we've been seeing in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, a lot depends on how that's structured, whether it's made into a permanent program, which is what you need for, you know, an employer to invest in wages, which allows for, you know, more people to enter that line of work. If it's a kind of a one shot deal, then it's hard to see how what it does to kind of change the reality on the ground, which is that as much as some people want to make a living in early childhood education and work with young children, they can't afford to do so, and so they take other jobs in other sectors. And so a lot depends on the kind of the structure and how it's rolled out and who's eligible and things like that. But it's also not large enough. That's about, if you applied that to the entire childcare workforce across the state, it's about $1,000 a year. And again, we don't know how this is going to be structured, but $1,000 a year per worker when, you know, worker pay is basically the lowest in any sector in New York State. It's something, but if you're looking at what, you know, fast food restaurants, retail establishments, places like that are increasing wages to because of general workforce shortages, this just won't do enough to sort of turn the tide in terms of what we need for staffing. And you're exactly right that here in Rochester, we see, you know, programs that have long operated full capacity. Right now, they've got closed classrooms because they can't staff them, even though they have families on wait lists for care. So we need to do something bigger and bolder to ensure that there's available care throughout the state.
Are you disappointed that the approach from the governor, as well as seemingly the legislative leaders at this point, is to hold off making any major commitments toward universal child care and taking this sort of wait-and-see approach with what the federal government might do in terms of this area, potentially with the Build Back Better legislation, which is going nowhere fast in D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, I think New York has a lot of resources available to it as a state. There's a lot of different forms that universal child care could take, and we're seeing that with some of the legislative proposals that are out there. But the reality is we do have the means as a state to provide universal care to every family who seeks it. And you could quibble over the definitions of all that, but you know, we think now is the time. I mean, the pandemic has really thrown into sharp relief the needs of childcare that a lot of families have, how important it is to the general functioning of the economy. And it is disappointing what's happening in D.C., and hopefully that can get resolved. But we as a state really, you know, we shouldn't just wait until we see what happens at the federal level. We've led in other areas. Paid family leave was something that New York's had in place for years now, and it's just something that's emerging, you know, or was emerging as a possible part of Build Back Better. So there are examples of New York going ahead on bold social policies, and we should try to do that again here.
Well, we've been speaking with Pete Nabosny. He is the Director of Policy for the Children's Agenda. Pete, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.